Father, we look to this story, which happened so long ago and so far away, and we run the risk of it being very distant in our minds and our hearts, very hard to relate to. We weren't there, weren't able to see the thousands of people. And yet, Lord, I pray through your Spirit that you would allow us to enter into the joy that was present on this day. When Jesus was welcomed, when he was sang about, when he was praised, when all eyes were on him as he rode on this little donkey down the hill up into Jerusalem, may the joy of that moment through your Spirit be poured out into our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would cause us to adore your Son this morning. Would you allow us to worship him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Lord, we cannot do that by ourselves. We will be distracted by 100,000 other things which are of far lesser value. I ask for your help. Allow us for a moment to be captured by the awe of who Jesus is, and may we finish this day being able to worship you with all of our hearts. Cause us to love you more. And may we respect you. May we praise you. May we sing despite the difficulties that are going on in our lives. At the end of this service, may we be able to sing with joy that Jesus is our Lord. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have one goal this morning. My only goal for our time together is that you would be able to worship the Lord Jesus, that you would praise him, that your heart would be moved like your heart was moved when you met your husband or your wife the first time on that first date. You remember that flutter in your heart? You guys have blank looks on your faces. You've been married way too long, some of you. I want you to fall in love with Jesus. That's my goal. The whole point of this story is to cause us to worship the Lord, is to have our hearts affected, moved by who Jesus is. So we need some help, right? We need a little help from the Holy Spirit. We need a little encouragement. Because I think since the coming of Jesus, there has primarily been two impulses in the heart of humanity. One is that we would praise and glorify Jesus. The other impulse is to silence that praise. Those are two difficulties that we straddle in our lives. To praise him or not. Jesus is endlessly controversial around the world. He's globally offensive and yet perpetually unavoidable. You just cannot get away from him or his name. There are no end to people who will praise him, and there are no end to people who wish they wouldn't. And yet we stand together this morning on Town Common with other churches who simply want to gather in the name of Jesus and say, we are worshipers of Jesus. There are worshipers of Jesus who want to publicly maintain a connection with his name. And yet, one of the things that always discourages me, yet I don't get too frustrated by it, is every year at this season, there are always those who will publish books or grant interviews who want to attack the very foundation of the truthfulness of Scripture and the reality of who Jesus is. Every year, we are assaulted with this kind of, it is an attack. However politely it is done by the scholars who do it, it is an attack. And the point is, Jesus really is not the Son of God. That's what they would have you say, or hear, or believe, or that Scriptures are not really truthful. And I simply want to invite you to consider, Jesus is the crucified, risen, living Son of God Almighty. He walked this earth, and he is alive to this very day. We believe that. Why? Partially because of what Jesus did on this day 2,014 years ago. as he entered into Jerusalem, he did some very deliberate things as he entered this city in order to stir up the whole city, as Ian mentioned. He intentionally provoked the fervor that came forward. You remember the celebration was Passover. Jesus is moving into these were three feasts that Jews were invited every year to gather in Jerusalem to celebrate. This was the most festive. And so as they're coming in and gathering, there are literally hundreds of thousands of pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem. And it could have been that there were even upwards of about 1 million on this particular time. Jesus had warned his disciples as he was moving into Jerusalem, I'm not going there primarily to celebrate a feast. I'm going there to lay down my life and die. I'm going to willingly offer my life as a sacrifice. But Jesus did something very unique on this day, something he did not do on any other day. He allowed and even encouraged things he had strictly forbidden under previous contexts, which is namely allowing people to praise him. Up until this point in his ministry, he never allowed public praise. He always pushed it aside. From the very beginning of his ministry, we've been going through Mark and Christianity Explored. Some of you have been reading through it. The very first chapter, we see Jesus at the beginning of his public ministry heals a man of leprosy. And Mark 1:43, Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest. Offer the command according to the commandments of Moses. Don't say anything. Just go show yourself to the priest." Later, after raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, he gave similar instructions. Mark 5, he strictly charged them, the parents, that they should tell no one this, that no one should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat. He commanded them, don't talk about this. Later, also, Jesus, as the disciples, he asked them, who do you say I am? You remember Peter's response, you're the Christ. Do you remember what he said right after that? Mark 8, he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. Jesus healed entire groups of people. Matthew 12, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and he ordered them not to make him known. He said the same things to demons. Luke 4, the demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them, and he would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And again in Mark 3, whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. Have you ever wondered why? Why does he continually prohibit people from praising him? I mean, it's almost like this wonderful miracle has happened in your life. Don't tell anybody. That's like saying, go to the Patriots game, but don't shout. It's crazy, right? What is he up to? Something very intentional. But on this day, so long ago, Jesus embraced that praise and even stirred it up. He is up to something very different. He knew what would happen as a result of this. It was part of the plan. He wanted this to happen. He provoked it to happen. It, in fact, was God's will that it happened. So this Palm Sunday is very different from any other time Jesus went to celebrate the Passover. We see the people's response. They're provoked by what Jesus does. So they gather palm branches. We wave palm branches. Somebody asked, what is the big deal about palm branches? In this culture, it was customary for if victors came back from a battle, from waging war off, when the hero came home, the people, the townspeople were gathered around and would wave palm branches. It was a sign of victory. It was welcoming home a conqueror. It was joyful. It was a celebration. The army has returned. The conqueror has conquered. He's come home, and we're going to celebrate a party. That's the palm branches came in. That's why they were waved in such a celebratory way. We also see that they threw their cloaks down in front of Jesus. As a kind of, they're rolling out the red carpet. Pitching off your coat, putting it down for the conqueror to walk upon is symbolic of submitting yourself to his authority. This was great news. Why were they doing this? Because Jesus chose to enter Jerusalem on a donkey, a little colt. That was why they responded the way they did. They had this idea of what Messiah would be, and Jesus was intentionally fulfilling a messianic promise by entering the way that he did. He was only about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. He didn't order a donkey because he was tired and shagged out from a long walk. He did it intentionally. He knew exactly what would happen because of Zechariah 9:9. This says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humbled and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey." Jesus is intentionally signaling to the people that he was ready to accept what he had previously rejected. He's sending the message, "I am now ready to be your king, your Messiah king." And the people in response were signaling to Jesus with palm branches and taking off their cloaks, "We are ready to receive you." There's lots of signaling going on. And the result is there is one crazy celebration. Everybody is excited. Jesus has finally embraced what they wanted for him for a long time. He's finally agreeing. He's on the donkey. We know what that means. We're welcoming him in. And the whole city is stirred up. There was joy that was incredible, and they were welcoming him. Why? Verse 37 says, one of the reasons they were shouting the praises, not only is he saying, "I'm Messiah," but because of all of the mighty works that Jesus had done. They remembered and reminded themselves of all that Jesus had done. And so, he had fed 5,000 people at one time. On a second occasion, he fed 4,000. He had caused the lame to be able to walk. He had given sight to those who were blind. He had opened the ears of the deaf. Those who couldn't speak, he had loosed their tongue. He had healed their diseases. He had commanded demons and they obeyed him. He even controlled the weather. He was unstoppable. In fact, just before this event, he had even raised Lazarus from the dead. That is the one thing that got the Pharisees in an uproar. Because who can stop a guy who is victorious over death itself? You can't. The high priest said, the whole world is going out after him. That's exactly right. And finally, Jesus is becoming their Messiah. And this is what the crowd say in Luke 19. "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The entire universe is affected by what Jesus is doing here. Glory in the highest, peace in the heavens. John 12, "Hosanna to the King of Israel." Not just King of the Israel, he's King of the entire universe. Mark 11, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Something ancient is being folded into what's happening here. Matthew 21, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The Son of David. Yes, Jesus was a descendant, a physical descendant of the line of David. He was born in the same town that David was born in, Bethlehem. But this kingdom folding in, this promise of the kingdom of David, brought back a promise that God had given to David way back in 2 Samuel, when God had said to David, "I will establish the throne of your kingdom forever. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Forever was suddenly there upon them. They saw Jesus as the fulfillment of that long ago promise. And Jesus is finally embracing it. You know they tried to make him king one other time. Remember that. After Jesus fed the 5,000, we are told they tried to come and make him king by force in John chapter 6. But the timing was not right. And so Jesus refused them. He sent them away. But now, they're not being sent away. He is welcoming him. He's calling them to himself. He is receiving all of this praise, these incredible ancient promises that are folding in. And it is absolutely too much for the Pharisees to handle. Verse 39. So we see an entire city praising him as he is making this journey into Jerusalem. And yet there are those who would silence that praise. Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." The Pharisees understood what was happening. They knew what this praise meant. They knew exactly the kind of acclamations that were given to Jesus were given to the king. He's not their king. The praise they were giving him are praises due the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. Jesus, shut this up. Too much is happening. This crowd is getting out of control. Bring it in. And how does Jesus respond? You know, this kind of praise that they were giving Jesus is only fitting for God and God alone. No one else deserves this kind of praise. Paul and Barnabas, when they were in Lystra, visiting a city, preaching, had something similar happen to them. Paul had healed a lame man, and the people of the town assumed he was divine. And so they were ready to break out an ox and cut it up and offer sacrifice. And Paul figured out what was going on in Acts chapter 14. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard about it, they tore their garments and rushed into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you the good news that you should turn from these vain things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." What is Paul saying? You don't worship the creation. You worship the Creator. You don't worship any created thing, not us. We're just like you. You don't worship a human. You only worship God. Even the angels knew this. When John the Apostle received the revelation, last book of the Bible, what we call the Revelation of John, an angel revealed this to him. And he, as the angel revealed this to him, John fell down at the feet of the angel. This is Revelation 19:10. "Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus.'" Worship God. The only appropriate worship is the worship of God. It is inappropriate to worship men. It is inappropriate to worship golden calves. It is inappropriate to worship any created thing. And yet these people are worshiping Jesus. And the Pharisees know this is a problem. And so they say, "Jesus, quiet these people. Shut them up. Rebuke them." And does Jesus say, "You know what? You're exactly right. This is a mistake. I am sorry. It's really nice to have all these people praising me. They've gotten a little carried away. So you're right. I should put a stop to this." Is that what Jesus says? Look at verse 40. "He answered the Pharisees and he said, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" I think he had to yell it because everyone is praising him. "If these are silent, the very stones would cry out." And as you pay attention to what is being published these days, you may hear certain scholars who will reject the Gospel of John out of hand because it's way too Christocentric. It talks about Jesus way too much. So let's get rid of John. And some scholars will say, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus never claims to be God. Well, you're smart people. You know how to read. Look at verse 40, and you tell me what Jesus is saying. "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." If these people shut their mouths, the stones will get mouths and praise me. Have you ever on earth heard anybody talk like that? Who on the planet would say such a thing? Who would dare to say such a thing? If Jesus is not true, then at best, this is unparalleled arrogance. And at worst, it's blasphemous hubris. If this is not true, then Jesus is the most shockingly self-inflated egotist I have ever read about in my entire life. If this is not true, then he is given to a kind of suicidal hyperbole. Because this got him killed. Talking like this got him killed. But if this is true, if what Jesus is saying is true, Think about that sentence. If these people are quiet, the very rocks will cry out. If that's true, then something on that Sunday happened that is the most amazing thing that has ever been endured by human beings. Something incredibly magnanimous is happening that affects not just the people in Jerusalem, but the entire created order. If this is true, then praising Jesus is not optional. And it's not a small thing. If this is true, then what Paul wrote is true in Romans 11. From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. If this is true, Jesus is not just a Jewish teacher. He is not merely a good moral teacher. He is not just some radical revolutionary whose social justice causes were moving him to be a little bit out of the box. Jesus is incredibly either telling the truth or he is lying. And if this is true, then what Paul wrote in Colossians 1 is also true. By him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, even rocks. If this is true, then God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father forever. If this is true, will you not praise him? Or will you let stones praise him? Because from this text, it is, if this is true, he will be praised. He will be praised willfully by joyful hearts who welcome him into the city of their hearts. Or it will one day be the kind of praise that forces you to bow the knee and confess with the tongue, Jesus Christ is Lord. Unbelievable. If these people are quiet, the very rocks will cry out in praise to me. I am fulfilling the will of God the Father. All power and authority given to this man who is walking into Jerusalem. Do you praise him? Do you love him? Do you adore him? I wish I could show him to you. I wish we could see the donkey and see maybe he was sweating and the donkey was stinking and the people were noisy. I wish we could feel and taste the living Christ because he is alive. And yet with the eyes of our heart, we can praise him and we should praise him. He will receive his rightful due. And this was a day unlike any other day. So the invitation for us is, will you praise him? Will you be one who will open your mouth and praise him? Or will you be silenced by those who would oppose you and say, can you just be quiet? And we live with this tension. Has your heart ever not compelled you at some moment as you're having a conversation? Just talk about Jesus. You feel this urge within you, and yet there's this social pressure, this present pressure in the crowd to, can you just be quiet? Can you just be silent? Folks, we cannot be silent. Have you welcomed Jesus into your heart? I mean, welcomed him. I'm not talking about, do you know who he is? And can you list some facts about his life? I mean, in your heart, are you moved with joyful admiration? And like Paul says, are you looking forward to that one day when he will come? Do you, when you think about the end of the earth, is that joyful? Do you want to see him? He is alive. Or are you just not quite sure? And if you're here today and you're not quite sure, that's okay. But I offer him before you and say he is wonderfully compelling. The folks who saw the wonders that he did, their own mouth, they said, he does everything well. That's a wonderful sentence. He makes all things new. That's one line that jumps out at me, the movie, The Passion. Remember as he's walking, he's carrying the cross. I think Mary comes up to him and he says something like, Mother, I make all things new. That's an incredible line. One day that's going to happen. We're going to have a new earth. We're going to have every right, every wrong being righted. And we will stand before the Lord who will put everything into its proper place. This is who Jesus is, folks. And if this is not a claim to divinity, I don't know what is. And it's in the Gospels, by the way. It's in the book of Luke. So read your Bible. Think about what you read. Don't pass over this. Jesus is right, if he says, if you guys are silent in this moment of welcoming him, if these people are silent, then the rocks will praise him. One day we will have an opportunity to praise him. One day we will look with great joy in his face or with great agony. And I pray that every one of you will consider and think about this sentence. How do you welcome him? Do you? Are you still thinking about it? Keep thinking. Don't give up. Don't let anybody stop you from considering the words of Jesus. And if you need someone to speak with, if you're still questioning some of the things that Jesus says, you're not quite sure you understand all of what Jesus is teaching and what he stood for and all of these things, please come see one of us. After the service, we will have some folks who would stand with you, will pray with you, would love to answer questions. I'd be happy to talk to you. Any of the elders in this church would be happy to talk to you and help you think through some of these things. But I commend him to you. I commend this Jesus to you. And if you're walking with him, you love him, then we are going to stand and sing. And I would like for you to sing with all of your might. This morning, I stood next to someone who said, you know, I didn't have a copy of the song that we sang on the common. And I said, can I share with you? And he said, I've got a copy of it that I cannot sing. My dad used to tell me, son, can you just be quiet? And I said, that's okay. Just sing out. Let's just sing this morning. And he was right. He couldn't sing. But it made me smile because I heard him. So I want to hear you. I would love to hear you. We're going to stand and we're going to sing after. I just pray for just a moment. We're going to sing Praise Adonai. And I would love for all of you to sing out from the bottom of your souls. If you love Jesus and you want to ascribe worship and praise to him, let's sing. But first, let's go to the Lord. Let's bow our knees before this Jesus who is portrayed in this scripture. Let's bow our hearts and our minds and let's worship him for just a moment. Jesus, we know you can hear us. You have told us that you're with us through your Spirit. You have given your Spirit to your people. You are here in this room with us. We can't see your body, but by faith we can see you, and we will praise you. And Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit on us so that we will be the kind of people who can show you to the world in such a way that people would believe and receive and joyfully say, I want that man to be my Savior, that man who is a God-man. Lord Jesus, anoint us so that we can reach out with the gospel and give us opportunity this week of all weeks, Lord, to talk about you and what you have accomplished and what you've done. Thank you for dying for us and forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for willingly going into Jerusalem on a donkey because that was the moment that announced to everyone watching that you were ready to be king, and that's what got you killed. Father, we praise you for sending your son. And Jesus, we praise you for willingly coming, choosing to die. Holy Spirit, we praise you for being here with us so that we can commune with our Father and with the Son. And all of the wonderful blessings that Jesus has brought to us, we pray in his name. Amen.
I want to encourage us this morning to...
Would you just bow your head and receive a benediction? Lord God Almighty, would you bless this people? Would you smile on them and be gracious to them? Let your name shine through them. Let your grace rest upon them in such a way that all the world would know who they represent. This will happen through faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be blessed, and if you would like prayer, come to the side here.